The Holy Prophet Raufur Rahim Nabi Al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated that on the Day of Judgment, on the Day of Qiyamah, when Qiyamah will be established, then all of the people who already have gone into the Qabr, who've passed away and who will pass away, everybody will be gathered. We also will go into our graves, and those who already have gone in their Qabr, in the grave, and those who will in the future go in the grave, everybody will be gathered together. In mukhtalif, different hadith, we have the meaning and explanation that when a person will rise and come out of his grave on the Day of Judgment, then according to the status of deeds, the individual will come out of the grave. We need to think about this, that as the quality of the deeds differ and vary, in accordance with the variation of the quality of the deeds that a person implemented, that is how a person will rise and emanate from his or her grave. For example, we have an example that there's a sin of consuming interest or riba. It is haram in Islam. Severely, we've been told to leave riba and interest. When a person who is involved in riba, when he comes out of the grave, the hadith explains graphically how will that person rise and come out. That, for example, if a jinn or an evil force or spirit overwhelms a person and grabs him and makes that person like wild and like an animal and mad, that's how the person will come out of the grave. Women, men, youthful people, people who in their blood, in their body, in their life, they had the contamination of riba, interest, sood. In the same way, there is no lack of sins, is there, in the dunya that we live in? And if we see that there are many untold sins, and may Allah forgive, there are many untold and numerous people who commit the sins. There are many types of sin and many sinful people. And there's no excuse that we can present. Rather, a person openly sins, not in hiding, but openly. And the time will come that on the Day of Qiyamah, that when the people will be coming out of their graves, the women, the menfolk, those immodest women who did not live their life according to the Sharia, according to the boundary Allah Ta'ala gave to us, then they will come out in that same way in front of the whole of mankind. Those people who left the clothes in the world, then they will rise naked and thereafter, and their face will show the result of their actions and the things that Allah Ta'ala told them to hide, and they used to make them apparent and show them, then Allah Ta'ala will give the azab for that. May Allah forgive. This time is to come very quickly upon every one of us. And that person who has departed from this world, he has reached in that way condition to the hereafter, that at least some good news we should have, isn't it? We know what deeds we have performed. We know what deeds we have collated together and implemented. And today, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is delivering this message to us and explaining to us and telling us, then what niyyah should we make, intention that Allah, we will try to practice on these points. And all of us should make this niyyah, intention, whenever you go to a gathering, that Allah, today the communication, the message you're giving to us for myself, that this person who is explaining, you sent for myself, for my benefit, and he is a khadim that you have sent, your servant, and he is explaining to me, advising me, making me better. I'm sleeping, he's waking me up, he's awakening me. Allah is your karam, your mercy, your fadl, that you are trying to deliver me away from the fire through the means of this person who's physically come and explaining to me today about your deen. My Mawla, my Rabb Allah, you are so merciful that today, if I listen to this message and accept it, and I accept it, then me who's listening, that I can jump out of that fire of hell. And on that Day of Judgment, that when I rise up with the sin, then I will get the forgiveness if I take the message. What a great mercy of Allah. Look at this point. What a great mercy of Allah. A favor of Allah. We come here thinking, oh, it's a majlis and oh, there's a dars, and let's go and sit down and we'll listen. This is not a place to listen. Brothers, the life is very short, it's very temporary. It's not a waste. Let's not make life a game. Let's not make... Where did the morning go? The morning's already gone before us. The morning came today, didn't it, upon everybody. The sun rose, we were all awake. The morning came, we prayed Fajr. Where's it gone? Where's the day gone? Will it come back? Will the morning come back? Will the sunrise come back? Will the day come back? It will. When? On the Day of Judgment in front of us. This morning Allah will say, I gave this morning to you, didn't I? What did you do during the morning? That it can't come back in your physical life, but fill in the blanks will occur. That this morning will be presented in our face. That on this morning you spent, did you spend this morning the way your Rabb wanted you? And you were given the hukam, the order to spend it correctly? Did you? Think that Allah Ta'ala has given us the morning. For example, I give you something that you take this, and the person who's taking is taking, then he'll obviously have some manners and principles that how do I utilize this equipment or whatever this person's given to me. So Allah Ta'ala says that you have to fulfill my haq, the rights. And this is not some sort of game or just pastime that just do what we want and feel what we want and carry out actions we want. Allah Ta'ala says that I've given you a life, every second of your life has got a hikmah, wisdom, and either through the correct implementation of that time you can get to the qurb and the nearness of Allah, or we can go to the depths of Jahannam. So success is gained through the seconds and the moments, not through years and months. When a human being, when his heart changes, then he delves into every second, every moment, every majlis is enough for him. It's important for him. Every majlis, and his life improves, and his direction changes, and his target changes, and his focus changes. But those who make the life a game, how can they change? How will they have focus? Then it's years and months they think about in that length of time. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sketched out the image for us that on the Day of Judgment there will be noise, there will be people, a clamor, a gathering, and there will be one certain group of people, excellent group of people who will rise from the graves, and they will have a unique hashr, a unique Day of Judgment. There will be different, many thousands of different types of people getting up in different ways from their graves, men and women, the whole of mankind, since the world was created, since man lived on the earth to the end of time, all of mankind will rise from their graves. But there will be a unique, wonderful group of people who will rise from the graves. Allah Ta'ala will give them a veil as soon as they get up from the graves, and Allah will give them wings, wings. As soon as they come out of their graves, they will fly, and they will fly out from their graves. And while they're flying, where will they go? Straight up to Jannat al-Firdaus, the highest level in paradise. Ah, they'll be flying through the air, through the space. Where they're going? To Jannah, to paradise. And the people in the world, they'll be standing. We have to come out of the grave. Then we have to, Janab, go to Hashar, the plain, the land on the Day of Judgment. 50,000 years of the hereafter, heat and sweat, intensity, and everyone will be stuck, and everybody will be struggling and crying. And these unique, wonderful group of people will come straight out of the grave, fly out, their speed and their condition, how they will reach to paradise and Firdaus. Imagine, there'll be nothing to stopping them, straight into paradise, straight. So when the people on the Day of Judgment will be stood, and the angels from paradise will say, how comes these people have come straight into paradise? And we have to open the doors and ask them, who are you? Which door do you want to go in? And straight they've come from their graves with the wings and they're flying. And Allah Ta'ala has given the duty to the guards of Jannah, the doors of Jannah, they have the duty. And everybody, for example, has a passport and an ID card. And the angel will say, where's your entry? Where's your passport? When did you pass? Where's the visa stamp that you can go into paradise? When did Allah give you the pass mark? All of this will happen, isn't it? So those group of people, and let's do dua, because Allah Ta'ala accepts the dua. So everyone do dua now, that Allah include us in that wonderful group of people. Ameen. Because this is the time to ask. Now, why are we sitting afraid? If Allah sent us here, then let's ask, why do we hesitate? Allah include us in those people, and inshallah we will be included, and Allah will accept the dua with the fadl of Allah. With the fadl of Allah. And today, if I am, my objective is to deliver everybody into that wonderful unique group, that's it. We have to become that group today. What reason are we here for? I will need to become that. You need to become that. We haven't just come here for nothing, and we haven't just said inshallah for nothing. Inshallah we'll go in that group and we will fly and we'll have the wings with the fadl of Allah. So now, the angels are a bit surprised. Allah, who are these people? They've come straight from the grave and they stood there. That as soon as they go, they'll be enjoying themselves. Oh, they'll be eating and drinking. The hoors are coming. That this is a wonderful, ajeeb qawm, nation of people. They don't even care about anyone else around them. Let's interview them. Now, who are these people? What sort of group of humans is this that they've come direct to paradise? The angels will say that, assalamu alaikum. They say, wa alaikum assalam. That, who are you? They say, we are people of paradise. Is it? Okay, hisab, where's the accounting of your deeds? They'll say, no accounting of deeds. And they'll be looking at the angels. What hisab? What accounting? What questioning? We've got no questioning. Direct entry. Huh? The angels will be thinking, is it? Bridge of Sirat? The angel will say, they'll say, which bridge, Sirat? What are you talking about? We didn't have to cross no Sirat. What is the bridge of Sirat? Huh? The angels will be surprised. No questioning, no bridge of Sirat. Jahannam? hellfire, that the people around, how they're going into Jahannam, droves and millions of people, they say, what Jahannam are you talking about, hellfire? We're not even aware of Jahannam. They'll say, O servants of Allah, that how did you come straight here? Whose ummah do you belong to? Which nation do you belong to? And they'll say with pride, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. They will say with pride, because they used to recite durood morning, evening, every time. They used to present their durood. There wasn't drama in their lives once in the year. No. Their life was durood. Upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to send durood. And the promise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, the person who sends a durood on me abundantly, he will be close to me. He will be close to me. And after every mashallah kalama, we recite durood in between each kalma in the dhikr. They'll say, is it? Whose ummah are you in? Are you in the ummah of Rasulullah? They say, yes. They'll put their hands together and say that you have created, you've achieved this great success. There are many ummahs behind you. They're in the lines and they're going through struggle. Which ummah are you? Do you understand the hadith I'm telling you? This is how I explain the hadith in very simple manner with the meaning so we understand. So it's easy for us to comprehend. So now we come to the meaning of this discussion and the dua that Allah Ta'ala has made us carry out. Listen carefully, attentively, and sit alert. Focus, because the time has come now. And we have to fly out of the graves, isn't it? With the wings. Or do you want to stand in the line? Do you want to fly out of the grave? Ah, then learn. Learn how to fly. So they'll say, oh, servants of Allah, that which women are you? Which men are you? Which creed are you? Which race are you? We're looking at all the other ummahs. And waqi, most definitely this ummah is great. The ummah of Rasulullah, but there are many other ummahs behind you who came before you. So the angels were, we want to ask you, make a request, that tell us at least that this, we have not seen until today that you, the group of people like you that have come here, that you came out of your graves and flew into Jannah, and you shunned and you left behind all of the trials and the tests. So what was your amal that made you come to this position? Now listen carefully. Will you listen? Now be alert. What is the amal? Will you do that action? Will we implement action? Say again, yes, inshallah. Then I'm also prepared as well. We make a pact and we make a solid intention that we want to be in those people who, when they come out of their graves, they fly into paradise. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his advices and his nasiha and his methods that have told us are very beneficial. With Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Ra'ufur Rahim bil mu'mineen, especially with the mu'mineen. So he is Ra'uf and Rahim. These are also the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the attributes. So what a great attribute that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has introduced his Habib, beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to us, to understand my Nabi, grab hold of his way, and he is Rahman Ra'uf. He will deliver you from such a place to paradise that you cannot imagine. You cannot imagine. Become his. Associate yourself with him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obey him. Love his sunnah. Keep him happy. Keep him happy. Allah Ta'ala says, and I'll be happy. So the ummah has been told, you please Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you please Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I've given him one title. He is Haris. And look, Haris is a great thing. What is the meaning of Haris? In other words, we say that I'm very haris for this thing. You know when a person's greedy or he wants something. So Rasulullah, Allah Ta'ala said haris. Why? What is he haris about? Because he had one hiris, one desire, deep desire. From beginning to end, what was the haris? That every one of my ummati, the member of my nation, will be going to paradise. This was the dua, asking, walking, talking, while Rasulullah was leaving this world, his final moments. My ummati, ummati, may they succeed. And so much after giving everything, first Allah Ta'ala will say to Rasulullah, are you happy? And Rasulullah will say, no, even now you're not happy, my Nabi. So many things, your maqam, your status, and the day of judgment thereafter. Then Rasulullah will go into prostration. Allah will say, how can I please you, my Mahbub? And Rasulullah will say, Allah will be happy when every single member of my ummah will not be, nobody will be in hellfire, and neither in paradise. I want them to be in paradise, and Allah will give this. So how can it be that we don't imitate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we don't obey his words? That do you think there's benefit if we imitate him, for him, for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is his karam and raham and mercy on us that he told us a method that when you imitate me, then I become happy. I become happy. That's his favor to us. That's his favor to us. And in imitating other things, what do we achieve? We're getting such a great reward. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi al-Kareem, the Prophet of Allah, the greatest Prophet, the leader of Jannah of Paradise, who will take and lead the people into Paradise, and all the Prophets before that will be behind him, and all the other nations will be behind him. And he says that if you imitate me, make your parents like me, I'm happy. If you wear libasit, attire like me, I'm happy. If you wear imamah like me, I'm happy. If you like that color that I like, if you like to eat those foods that I used to like eating, if you like that methodology, that if you eat and sit and eat like I used to sit and eat, then I'm happy. And if you wash your hands before eating like I used to wash my hands, and after eating I would recite the dua, and if you do the dua, so if you're imitating me in everything, then you have made me so happy, said Rasulullah SAW, that I will ask for you to be delivered to Jannah. Man ahabba sunnati fa man ahabbani. Rasulullah said, Faman ahabbani kana ma'ya fil jannati. That if you followed my sunnah, whoever loves my sunnah, I love him. And if you follow my sunnah and love my sunnah, then I will take you with me into Jannah. Rasulullah said, ma kana ma'ya fil jannati. This is an easy, simple solution. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we imitate the greatest Prophet and human being, and we're ashamed, embarrassed. People will laugh, they'll say this. Can there be any hesitation in imitating the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We need to think about this. We need to think about this. He, his lifestyle, everything of our life should be like his. If we get dalil, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like this, he did this, he said this, he was like this, he was like this, then we should follow this. And that jamaat, the greatest jamaat after the prophets, after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until the day of judgment, no group like that will come. That when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went, then that jamaat ended. The title of sahabi ended when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. No one else after that could become sahabi. How did they become sahaba? Tahajjud, ibadah, fasting? No. The sahaba became, they were given that title because with iman in their heart, they saw the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did ziyarah. They became sahabi. Yes, when Rasulullah ﷺ passed away, then after that nobody else could see afresh the Prophet ﷺ. So whoever during the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ witnessed his blessed face with iman in his heart, he was a sahabi, and the sahaba were unique. And they were the greatest generation of people who lived on the face of this earth. And they didn't let anything happen, or they never practiced anything in their life that Rasulullah ﷺ didn't do. So whatever Nabi ﷺ did, for example, Rasulullah ﷺ picked something up, they would bend down and pick it up. They wouldn't ask, why are you bending down? What's the reason? Why did Nabi ﷺ do this? Rasulullah ﷺ raced, then they are racing and they are running. Rasulullah ﷺ turned his horse like this. Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhu, he turned his horse like this. He said, why are you turning your horse like this? I saw Rasulullah ﷺ use his reins and turn the horse like this. He said, I don't know why, but I'm doing it. So in other words, imitation and the love of the Prophet ﷺ, their life and their love was blind. And we say, bring the proof, I have to drink with 3 sips. What's the benefit for this? What sort of jannah will I get? If I don't do this, will it make any difference? People are standing and drinking. So what? Oh, it's not, this is not love. And we have hopes and desires. I need ziyarah today. I need to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dream. And after that, tell me I'm forgiven. And everybody has this desire and hope. Isn't it? We should have this hope. We should have this desire. But let's look at our hal, physical life. Do we implement his deeds, his sunnah, and his tariqah, Rasulullah's sunnah? We ask for proof that do I need to do this? Is it necessary? Is this the criterion of love? Can ever a person who loves another person say that, for example, a bird that loves another bird, will it say that, give me the proof that why do you love me? Has ever the moth that's gone to the light said that, why have you come to my light? Why are you attracted to the light? Has any example of love asked for dalil for the love? And today the mu'min, the Muslim, and the condition of the person being a Muslim, that is the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his practice. We ask for dalil. Why do we need to love him like this? Why do we need to practice? Why do we need to imitate him like this? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So this is, brothers, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always gave us easy solutions, easy practical methods. So we come back to the hadith. So as I was saying, that there's a nation, I'll go back over and revise what we discussed, that all the previous nations of the previous prophets will rise up from the grave and be tested on the day of judgment. There will be a group, a unique group, that will, they will rise from their graves and they will fly into Jannah and Paradise, and the angels will be amazed and shocked. Direct entry, and they will ask these people, and they will not be worried or have any issues. Then they will plead, and please tell us, our friends, O ummatis, O people, that what was your amal, what was your practice? And alhamdulillah, we've done this action, and if we do that, we will go into that group. And what was the action? Subhanallah. They said that our amal, our action, we had 2 habits in our life, and we developed these habits in our life. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam via his sunnah. We had 2 habits via the beloved sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. And the rest, we were normal. We used to pray like everyone else used to pray. We did hajj. We went on umrah. We also used to give zakah. Everyone used to do this, and we used to go and do this and that. But 2 habits we had developed according to the hadith and the sunnah of Rasulullah, we developed these two habits. And the angel will say, what were the habits that you developed and you did? And they'll say that due to the sunnah, you got this rank and status and level. And they'll say, first habit number one of ours was that we were insan, all of us are human beings, and no one can say apart from the prophets that we cannot sin or make a mistake. We were all human beings, and we knew that we could commit sins, and we sinned. But what used to happen is that when we made a mistake, we committed the mistakes and the errors, and the person says, oh, he's done a sin, or this person's done a sin. This is one method. One is the sin in isolation. So one is sin in public when you see other people sinning. One is sin in isolation, and shaitan makes a person brave. And the person who sins in isolation, seclusion on his own, it's a bad shame. And a lot of things, and today is very common, the sin in isolation. In the night, the darkness comes, and a person starts, the men and the women, they go towards the sins. They travel towards the sins in isolation. You will have understood what I'm saying. In the night when nobody is watching or looking. We were in sin as well, they said. So when we used to do sin in isolation, we used to be in isolation and on our own, then we used to do one thing. What? That we were extremely ashamed at that time. We used to be ashamed. And so much shame used to come to us, and we used to feel the awareness that I've made a mistake. I used to be so ashamed that why did I commit this error and this sin? And then that so much shame used to come, so much remorse and regret, that we would never mention that sin to anyone else, and we made this a habit. And we never said to anyone we did this. So this was one of our deeds. Habit number one, that when we committed errors and shameful errors, we used to feel remorse. And today what do? We made the same errors, we commit sins, and we openly say, oh, I enjoyed it last night. Oh, I enjoyed myself tomorrow. Oh, you should go and watch this channel as well and see what goes on there. In the morning the announcement will be made. Men and women and all of the evil and the sins that we do in the night, we do this, don't we? And we go and invite others to, oh, you should see this. Oh, I enjoyed myself. I saw this. And if you commit an error, a person makes an error in the night, he doesn't keep it to himself. He openly shares it and communicates. Oh, you go and look at this. You do this. Oh, I enjoyed myself. You do this as well. Oh, I went, and don't ask me, the night, 2 a.m. I went to sleep. I was doing this, and 3 a.m. we were sitting, and what? And does this not happen? It happens, isn't it? And today, in this day and age, openly, it's happening. Rather, from this, you can go, you can communicate to other countries and, well, oh, where were you in the night? Oh, were you sleeping? No. Oh, here, it's 2 a.m. Oh, it's 6 now. Here, oh, get up. This happens. Go to this channel. Watch this and this scene and this. So one is to sin. And after sinning, flouting the sin. Communicate the sin. So those who went to the paradise said, we were insane, human beings, and we sinned. But we felt shame, deep shame and remorse and regret. And we used to sweat due to the remorse that Allah, oh, it's bad and we made a mistake. We used to feel so ashamed. Shameful that we should never share with anyone. Even don't even tell your wife that I've done this. And this is how they felt the shame. And this habit is not a small thing. To have this characteristic, it's not a small thing. To feel remorse and regret after sinning, shaitan brings the person to another point. So he totally becomes a totally sinful person, and then he makes that person a witness for his sin. Shaitan does. So that he becomes a permanent sinner. Because the shaitan, all of the people will be the witness that he did this, and he did this sin, and he used to do this, and he used to do this. And the sins will become witnesses. That in isolation, on being on your own is dangerous in this day and age. Don't rely on your taqwa. Never trust your taqwa. Shaitan is very strong, very powerful, and attacks. Never trust your taqwa. Oh, it's okay, my God was watching this, and then this happened. Oh, I went to open the kitab for this reason, and this happened. Oh, I wanted to say this, and this word came out. Why? Because the first stage a person should have taqwa and fear of Allah, that don't go close to the sin, or to the shame, or to whatever action takes to the shame. You understand what I'm saying? We are all involved with this. I'll tell you the truth, all of us. So my brothers, let's be careful. Look at what a great reward Rasulullah has given us for this, for the shame and the regret and remorse. The person who has the shame and the person who has the honest shame and regret after sinning. I tell you, he's committed a sin, an error, and he's ashamed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then will not take that person again to that sin. The person who, because why is Allah given such a great thawab and reward? For this reason, Allah ta'ala says that this person had haya with his Rabb, with his Lord, that in the day and age today of immodesty, and it was before, not just today, that a person after sinning and making an immodest action, you've heard this very normally. Where is it written? In Punjabi. Kithe likhe? Kaha likha in Urdu? Where's this written, I can't do this? Where's this say this is a sin? Who says this is a sin? Oh, these are the mulannas, and they've spoilt our deen, and disfigured our deen, and say openly, challenging the deen, yeah, who told you I can't do this? Where's this say it's haram? Islam's not strict, it's not compulsory this. How can you say this is a sin? Who said this? Show me, where's it written? Which verse is it written in? Explain to me. Are these things not said today? Openly? Can there be a bigger sin than this? Challenging? And there's another person in opposition to this, is a human being who sinned and he is ashamed in front of his Lord. This is the better state. Allah will say that he had haya, modesty, and he went beyond that sin. Allah will say, you said that Allah, I am full of shame, remorse. Allah Ta'ala says, today if he had shame and remorse, then subhanAllah, Allah says, I will reward his haya and shame and I will deliver him into paradise. So if you do haya and you're ashamed in front of Allah, if that man or the woman or the brother or the sister have shame for the sin, she is ashamed or he is ashamed, while sinning, and the eyes lower and the humble and the mouth lowers and the body lowers and the head lowers, that oh, most definitely I've committed a sin, and he is aware of the sin. And the person has the recognition of the sin, but what does he do? After committing the sin, to make this apparent that there is no sin, and he becomes brave. Oh, this isn't a sin, I've not done anything wrong. And you will have seen people do this, that big sins are committed. So this is not a sin, I've not made a mistake. Where? Who? When? Where? And they'll debate and argue. But if only that person had haya and had some shame and did tawbah to Allah, then okay, I've made a mistake. We should accept our downfalls. Okay, I said something from my mouth, or my eyes did something wrong, or my hands did something wrong. Go in front of Allah. Rabb is Kareem, and He's close. And Allah is saying, I'll give you the great reward, this great reward on haya and regret. My brothers, we are human beings, and this is natural characteristic within us that Allah Ta'ala has instilled in us to disobey and sin. How can we say that we will not sin or disobey? But imagine this, that if I presented this hadith in this way in front of you, that all these people are flying into paradise, from which deed are they going in? If I said to you, oh, this is due to the sins, this is not wrong. This is right. It's due to the sins that they'll be flying to Jannah. Any person who sins, can he get this rank and status that he'll be unique from all the people in the Day of Judgment flying to paradise? But he is going, or she is going, due to the sins. So we are all sinners. But we should become such sinners that we have haya and shame and remorse and regret in front of our Lord. And people today, they shouldn't consider that they've sinned and it's fine, acceptable. Then that sin doesn't remain a sin. Because the true point here is that insan, it should create a link with Allah. In such a way, we should be so much yaqeen in Allah that my Rabb is looking at me. He is watching me, and he should be ashamed. That, for example, if in front of me you say, oh, Hazrat Sahib, he's watching me. You wouldn't sin. You'd be ashamed when you're sinning in front of another person. So that person, he should be ashamed that he knows that Allah, my Rabb, was watching me and I committed the sin. Allah, I'm sorry. And the state and condition of the heart is opened up at that time. And that's the sinners that the people should be. And we should be like this. So brothers, we might commit a sin, but we should have shame, regret, and don't announce and show off and say, I'm okay and it's okay to sin. Don't advertise, don't give dawah, don't spread the word, don't invite others to sin. And when you have shame, inshallah upon the shame, Allah will give tawbah. But today, if Allah says you are ashamed, tomorrow you will fly into Jannah, into paradise. You will fly. What a beautiful point. Is this hard? No, it's easy. And where we will reach to, where we will arrive. And the second reason why those people were unique as a group and they flew into paradise, and the angels asked them, what was the second habit you had? They'll say, habit number two was that everyone used to earn and eat. Everyone works and pastime, employment, Allah sent us to the world, stomach, needs, house, children, wife, shopping. Angels don't bring food to us, do they, from the sky? Or do they? And you have to live in a house, you have to give the tax, you have to pay the electricity bills and the water bills and the rates. It's all jais, the life we have to live in the world. Earn and pay our way. We have to pay our way and we have to live in the world. And Rasulullah said, live in the world, earn, eat, feed others, and fulfill the rights. We haven't been told live in the jungle, go in isolation, seclusion, permanent confinement. My Hazrat, my Sheikh, when he gave me order, hukam, to do tabligh, to go and explain and propagate the deen, the first nasiha my Sheikh told me is what? What was the nasiha? What was his advice? That, subhanAllah, that the stomach is attached, isn't it, to everyone? Everything is attached. And Hazrat, my Shaykh, said, listen, that I'll give you one nasiha. What is that, Hazrat? That if you want to be my murid, and you want to progress your tabligh, then remember one thing, that Allah Ta'ala has given you two hands. Always earn with your hands, and never spread your hands out and beg. First nasiha my Shaykh gave to me, and the final nasiha when I came, then I did amal on this so much that I sweeped floors, I did such jobs that you will realize what was my status before that. I worked in such jobs and employment. Alhamdulillah, such a time came that I was totally unconscious and tired and rattled. Allah, what will I do now? How will I earn? I had such trials and tests that I can't understand. What should I do? How will I work? Where? How can I earn? There was poverty and hunger. But never did I imagine, because my Shaykh gave the hukam though, that the question didn't arise. And this is the time that comes, that earn with your hands. Why? Why? Because these things in reality, that our deen tells us. Our deen's that needs, we do have needs, we have everything. So here, the philosophy of earning with the hands. The Hazrat used, wanted to take me to this level and position, platform. So tell me, what's the other alternative? The Hazrat said to me, we were human beings, I had a wife and children, and I had to pay the bills, and I had to pay the water bill, and I had to bring the food home on the table. We had to do everything. And Allah Ta'ala gave the means for us to earn. Now, I didn't own Marks and Spencers, did I? When I started to work and I started my business, then I didn't get Marks and Spencers as a business, did I? I got a small stool. A small stool. But this was the hukam, the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That earn with the hands. Pay your way. Earn your keep. Rizq with your hands. Beware that you do something else to make your ends meet your ends. So what? And I didn't say, oh, I'm going to go to the jungle and I'll ask people. And a beautiful answer. This is our habit. These people, they'll say that our habit was that all our needs Allah Ta'ala would fulfill, and wherever Allah Ta'ala destined our wealth. Listen, Allah Ta'ala has destined somebody to get wealth like this or like this in this place. Allah gives this business and that. That wherever Allah Ta'ala destined our wealth and our rizq, it was in a shop or outside a shop, or was it on a stool or on a cart, or did I have a big store or products? Whatever was written in my destiny, however much was written in my destiny, then that wealth that Allah Ta'ala destined for me, I was happy and satisfied that Allah is happy on this for me. Aha, mashallah. Now whether Allah gives 10 pounds or 5 pounds or 100 pounds profit, here is where we lose out. Allah Ta'ala hasn't prevented us from earning. Allah has not prevented us from working, employment, or owning a business, or running an enterprise, or whatever, doing transactions. But Allah Ta'ala has prevented us that whatever wealth I give to you, you should be content and satisfied and happy. And when a person is not satisfied, then he opens the doors for haram. You understand what I'm saying? Then the doors for haram open because he's not happy. He says, 50, I'm not happy with 50, I'm not content. It's not fulfilling my needs. And shaitan tells him, how can I work more and make more? And it's difficult, I've got to bring the kids up, I need to buy this, I need to get a house. And 50 pounds, that's not enough for me. So, and shaitan, he sends a man. The look, apply, the bank will give a loan. And I'll be with you, and let's go and get a loan and an overdraft, and we'll start work together. And they say, I'm forced to, what can I do? Because I've only got 50 and I need more. And the person who makes the 50 his life, I tell you, for quite a few years, 10 pounds a week was the profit from my shop, from my business. 10 pounds. Imagine. And people used to ask me, what was your sale, your turnover? I had to tell them. And I used to say, for the week? How much a week? MashaAllah, this is a big Arndale center. How much are you earning? I said, just 50 pounds. They used to laugh. Huh? 50 pounds for the hour? They used to laugh. They're amazing. People were shocked. And I, until today, this was my principle in business. And the business principle that I was told, that I didn't even know about the bank. Where's the bank? And what number two? The other interest, that never in my life did I take a loan from anybody. I gave to people a loan, lots of times, but I never took a loan from anybody. So when I used to sleep with ease, was my Hazrat gave me nasiha. Never did I take a loan. They said, how did your business flourish without a loan? I said, it didn't flourish, it ran. It didn't walk, it ran. I used to sleep with ease, and I come and sit there with ease, and I don't realize that my business, it flourishes and runs. Why? Why? Because from that same stall, I tell you, that used to give 50 pounds turnover, 10 pounds profit, the 10 pounds, 1500, and then once a time came that I couldn't count the amount of money. I couldn't count. That's how much turnover came. And the money used to come like this. Yes. And it's the same stall. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who shows a person what? That don't open up the doors for haram. That this is the test. Allah ta'ala gives the test. Go to the test. The children and your wife, don't worry. What they're going to say to you, don't make their excuse that they are the ones telling me to earn like this and incorrectly. No, this is not what we should be doing. That Allah Ta'ala says, I'm giving you the test that you should be pleased on what Allah Ta'ala has given. Oh, how will I bring up the kids and my wife? How will I fulfill the needs? Everything will happen. Allah will fulfill everything. If we are content on what Allah Ta'ala has put in our destiny. Allah gives 100, who gives it? And Allah. 50, who gives? Allah. 10, who gives? Allah. So be pleased. Be pleased. 10, be pleased on that. That's it, end of story. That's it. So Allah gives. So I know that why is it only £10 profits coming? It's not enough. So be content. So these were those people that I understood this point and this nasiha, that whatever comes, I'm happy, Allah, with what you've given. And I've never complained and criticized. I'm totally happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these two habits, those great unique people said, and Allah gave them the wings and they flew from the grave to paradise. Is this hard? Is this hard? The deep regret and shame on the sins, and be happy and content with the rizq Allah gave to them. So be content with what Allah Ta'ala gives to you, and have regret and shame for the sins. So content, being satisfied. Now, to become happy and content and satisfied with what Allah has given. So why does a person become greedy and selfish? Tell me, what's the reason? There's a reason. In the hadith is stated that Allah has created something within a person. He has put something in a corner in a person, and that doesn't get filled. There's a gap. There's a space that doesn't get filled. 100 comes not filled. 50. Even if you become a millionaire today, you say, I need to get another house. It's not enough. He won't stop. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala said that that piece, that corner, that space will never be filled. If I say today, all right, if I get 50,000, I've heard people say, if I get 50,000, I'm going to live the rest of my life with ease. I don't need anything else. 50,000 is enough for me. And after 50,000, yaar, it's not enough. I need a bit more than this. So if I get 50, no, 100, I need 1,000. Then 1,000, then a few thousand more come. Then after a while, no, 1,000 is not enough. You know, I need to expand and inflation's increased. I need 3,000 more in this kitty. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala's hadith is true. That there's a space, a corner, a place in our minds and our hearts. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. And it never fills. That gap never fills. And it never will. It never will fill. So Allah, what shall we do if that gap, that space never fills? Allah says it will fill. It can be filled and sealed. That corner, that space, that gap can be filled. That desire. Allah, with what? With what? That we become old and money keeps coming and the desire keeps on increasing. We keep on wanting more. It doesn't reduce. Look at the elder people. While they're dying, the same accounting of the shops, the money, the counting, and the desire never finishes. They're going into the grave, falling into the graves. I heard people from their tongues. Oh, that money I had. Oh, my friend. Don't tell anyone I've hidden the money. Where's he going? I don't even know if I'm going to come back. But don't tell anyone I've got this money, about that money that I've hidden. And tell me where's Richard. Where you've hidden? No, not yet, not yet. So when will you tell me? When will you explain? Afterwards. Why? Because the gap never fills. The space never. None of us can fill that gap of contentment and satisfaction. Do we want to fill it? I will tell you that this glass is empty, isn't it? So if I don't put water into it, will it fill up? Of course it won't. It won't. So it needs to be filled. And the water is put into the same way, that gap, that space will not fill. That thing that's lacking will not fill. And how do we fill that gap, that space that's lacking? Dhikr Allah, say Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah again. Say Subhanallah again. The dhakir will never be greedy. Never. Never. The true dhakir, the friend of Allah, with the fadl of Allah, his heart will always be content and satisfied. Now I'll give you an example, that we're not kutubs here, nor are we abdals. But one question I will ask you definitely, that before dhikr, that did we have a life? And after learning dhikr and implementing dhikr, has a difference come to you in your life? Contentment, satisfaction? It has. Put your hands up if there's a difference in your life and you're more satisfied and content. Now look at this. Yes, they come crying to me. Oh, I can't get a job. Where will I eat from? And business. And we sit in dhikr and we forget the job. Did I have a job or not? We forget. Your father saying, you went to get dua. And what happened to you after that? He said, oh, I became a Sufi. I've come close to Allah. And they're sitting here in this gathering. What can I say? How many people? That I forgot my job, where I used to work, where I used to go. And he's explained to his wife, don't worry, rizq will come and sit down to dhikr. Because the heart that had the gap, the space, the desire, it's filled now, it's sealed. And is the requirement fulfilled? He's going on Hajj and Umrah, everything. But no, I don't want to work at the moment. But Allah Ta'ala says, it doesn't matter, because you've become my servant and I've filled that space, that gap in your heart, your rizq, your wealth. Without working too hard, you will keep on getting the rizq and the wealth. Whatever is in your destiny will come to you. Will come to you. The dhikr of Allah is such a great action. So they did dhikr, those people. These two maqams they've attained from what? He wants to explain, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the dhikr that did was the heart's condition changed. And in this action of dhikr, it resulted in both things coming out. SubhanAllah, it's apparent, it's obvious that they used to sin. And the difference between that group of people, the unique people flying into paradise, that when they committed the sin, they changed their quality, that they used to be ashamed in front of Allah after sinning. They used to lower their eyes. And I've seen this, I've seen some women that before sinning, they used to walk around before dhikr, doing dhikr. And when they learned dhikr, then their backs, they lowered their backs to the ground and were humble and sincere, and they improved their life. And I said, SubhanAllah, look at the haqq and the true honesty of your deen and the hadith about dhikr, that after dhikr our person's humbled, becomes the true servant of Allah, because they did dhikr. So the dhikr of Allah is what humbles person. We commit sins, we all commit sins in the darkness or in hiding or whatever, we do sin. But we have a haya and a sharam and a remorse and regret. Person, Allah, what will my Allah say? And I do a dhikr of Allah. And what? How will I show my face to Allah? How will I do this? The shaitan, he's made us do this. And after committing the sin, the shaitan stops us. Oh, he's destroyed me, shaitan. And the shaitan will say, he's crying, he's got remorse, and he's now making me melt. And Allah, he does dua to Allah, I'm not going to make him do sin again after this, because he's crying and lamenting. So the dhikr of Allah is a great deed, because it gives the result, number one, habit number one, which is what? To have deep remorse and shame after sinning. And secondly, to be content and happy with what Allah gives to us. So we need both habits. And what do we need to do to get these habits? Say it loudly, dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah. And shaitan makes us run from dhikr. He says, don't do this, but do everything else, but don't do dhikr, he says. Don't do dhikr. That's why the walis of Allah have said that, do the dhikr of Allah, do the dhikr of Allah, praise Allah, do dhikr, do tabligh, do chilla, and do dhikr, dhikr as much as you can. Keep doing everything in life, but alongside that, do what? Dhikr of Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now, the wings will come to you. I promise to you, the wings will come. Alhamdulillah, that's all we have to do. If you commit a sin, have shame, remorse. How? If we do dhikr of Allah in abundance in our lives, then inshallah, our lifestyle will change and we'll have shame when we commit a sin and error. You'll feel this. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. Ameen.